You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in Daily Ticker time here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. The number 8 team in Dirt's top 25 preseason poll is LSU and Ed Orgeron, who are coming off a 10-win season. They're returning 16 players from last year's group, including their quarterback, the transfer Joe Burrow. So give us a lowdown on LSU. We're going to go to Baton Rouge now. Jordy Collada of 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge Radio, he joins us now. Jordy, thanks so much for the time, man. We appreciate it up here in Portland. The expectations for LSU, I know Bama's still there. Georgia's getting a lot of picks by people. Does LSU have it this year to make some upsets and potentially win the SEC, in your opinion?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Look, LSU this year, we've talked about LSU. I've done this for 9 years now, done sports radio down here in South Louisiana, and talked about LSU during the off seasons. And every year we've talked about their talent at defensive back or their wide receivers or their top-end running backs like Darius Geis, Leonard Fournette, Jeremy Hill. They've had big-time pass rushers that they produced. And all that has always given LSU the reputation of a team to watch out for. But this season, the chatter is different because of the confidence that they have in their signal caller. It's been a long time since LSU has had a returning quarterback that they felt comfortable in. And Burrow really started to play well down the stretch last season. And in the offseason, they went out and hired a young, bright mind on that side of the ball in Joe Brady from the New Orleans Saints. And by all accounts, his installation in spring, his influence in the offseason, and now to see him on the field working with that side of the ball and specifically with Burrow here in the first week and a half of camp has really given LSU fans something to be excited about on that side of the ball, because they've just been so inept for the last decade, and that's the true reason for the offseason buzz is Burrow and the offensive change that is expected to come.
Yeah, and you mentioned the offense. That's going to be a big thing for LSU this year. They took a step up last year, 32 points per game, up from 27 the year before that and 28 the year prior to that. But you look at the bigger games and maybe some of the tougher defenses that they faced last year. The Alabama game sticks out, where they got shut out. The loss to Florida earlier in the year, where they only scored 19 points. Like, we know the offense has improved, and 30 points per game is a solid number. Where's the confidence level, though, that they can get it done when they face one of those kind of defenses to keep them in a game?
Well, it still needs to be proven, really, because they have struggled in the past in those big-time matchups, and really it comes down to the trenches. And Orgeron has specifically tried to change their approach on the recruiting trail of trying to get those big bodies that LSU was beating teams for, you know, just over a decade ago. And that was their identity, was winning at the line of scrimmage with guys like Glenn Dorsey and Ricky Jean-Francois, who played long into the NFL. And that was the difference in both of those games that you referenced. I mean, the Alabama game last year, that was a clinic by their defensive line. You know, I mean, they threw LSU all over the place on double, triple teams on that front four. And then Florida, the outside, they could not protect Joe Burrow. So it all came down to trench play, and they have to prove themselves here in the first Saturday in November in Tuscaloosa, because that has been a game that, you know, look, man, down here in South Louisiana, people have really come to dread because of LSU being on the wrong side of it the last 8 tries.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Jordy Collada is our guest here, 104.5 ESPN, host of Off the Bench over there in Baton Rouge, to preview LSU, who we have at number 8. For all the talent returning, the quarterback, the coach, you talk about the coordinators and the coaching staff in general, that Alabama game is just everything for LSU. We know that. And to get through Alabama, to win the SEC, and what that means to LSU fan, I am curious, though, not to stereotype, but it feels like Ed O is kind of one of their own. He's an LSU through and through guy. A lot of people had question marks about him as the head coach. Could he really be a long-term option for him? If they can't get past Bama with this group this year, what is the pressure situation for him, the hot seat stakes for Ed O after this season?
Oh, well, look, I think he secured his seat with the extension last year. There was low expectation around LSU last year. He went out and got a guy like Joe Burrow in the transfer wire, picked up a kicker in Cole Tracy that was a graduate transfer that really turned out to be difference makers for him. Tracy kicked a game winner against Auburn on the road. Burrow was making plays all down the stretch, and they get the 10 wins. That was a team that last season LSU was pegged to win 6 or 7 games, and Ogeron was on the hottest seat in the country going into last fall. He's really steadied the program. He's done a great job of recruiting. He's built a fence around the state of Louisiana and gotten some key targets. It's not all about that game in against Alabama. It's about stabilizing LSU's program again from a player personnel standpoint and lining them up with depth. And he's done that in overhauling the roster. I mean, look, man, Les Miles left this roster nearly in shambles. I mean, they had to rebuild. They had to go out and find linebackers and offensive linemen, and they had to build depth at the defensive line. They didn't have any quarterbacks in the tunnel and in the funnel. So it was a hell of a task to overhaul this. So Ogeron is safe in the eyes of LSU fans and within the administration. I mean, look, new athletics director Scott Woodward has come in and really given Ogeron a lot of support and offered every resource within the athletic program and has made it known that Ogeron is his guy. This is a team that is expected to achieve. You guys have them at number 8. There's all types of services around the country that happen within the top 10. So there is expectation pegged on this team, but I think they invite it now. You know, I mean, the first couple of years they were trying to stabilize it. Now they want to mm-hmm. play in these big games with expectation to win it.
Yeah, and speaking of the big games too, I mean, one of my favorite parts about college football, especially early in the season, was you get those exciting non-conference games, and we got one out here with Oregon and Auburn to open the season for the fans out in this neck of the woods. But that September 7th game, I mean, we've had circled for a long time, just excited considering the hype and the potential around both programs. How are people down there feeling about the road trip to Austin and their game against Texas?
They're antsy, man. Everybody's looking forward to that trip. That's a great one. You know, you rarely see these games anymore on college campuses. Usually this game will be played in Cowboy Stadium or in Houston or in the Superdome. To get this game on campus and play it at DK Royal this upcoming season, then come back down to Death Valley and Baton Rouge next year, you know, I think that's going to offer a pretty cool dynamic to what has recently seemingly been lost in college football is the lore of these big games on campus. So a lot of people are looking forward to that trip to get over to Austin. And when you think about the football component of it, that really can, you know, that can be the boost that LSU needs in the early part of the season. And a lot of people are relating that to the 2011 opener against you guys against Oregon in Dallas in Cowboy Stadium, where you knew that team was going to be good. They had a lot of talent with that defensive backfield headlined by Tyrann Mathieu and Eric Reed, all those guys, but you didn't know how good they were going to be. Then they play that opener against Oregon and really just dominate that game. And then you wake up Monday morning, you're on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and throughout the rest of the season, you play within the top 3 in the country. So this is a similar type atmosphere and game in which LSU can really kind of boost themselves into the national talk.
Is this, we're talking with Jordy Coletta of 104.5 ESPN down in Baton Rouge to preview number 8 LSU in our top 25 countdown to the first college football game this season between Miami and Florida. Is there a sense that if Joe Burrow starts and he struggles early, like let's say they go to Texas, they lose that one, he didn't play well, he doesn't play well his first few games, is there a chance that they make a change there, or do you think he's pretty safe as well to just remain the quarterback, they ride through it this season and see what he can give them?
No, he's their guy, man. He's a leader of this team. He's their quarterback. Now, I will tell you that they do have much more confidence in their backup than they have in years past. And a guy like Miles Brennan, who came out as an Elite 11 quarterback a couple of years back from St. Stanislaus down here on the Gulf Coast. And, you know, he's he's been trying to put weight on and get to a college football playing weight, and they feel like they finally done that with him. So I think that they feel confident in their backup. But last week, Joe Burrow didn't play in the first preseason scrimmage. And Ogeron, quite frankly, I mean, honestly, laid it out and said, look, they're a different football team without Burrow out there. So he is their guy. He is the leader. He embraces that. And, you know, from everything that you hear about him, you talk to him, you see him, he's really expecting to have a big season. I followed him down to the Manning Passing Academy. Happens every year down here in South Louisiana at Thibodeau at Nicholls State University. And it really is kind of a melting pot of football. I mean, just pro, college, high school, all types of my talking. Hey, you know, Chris Mortensen, everybody's down here just kind of talking football. And Joe Burrow was down here. You know, your guys, Herbert was down here as well. And one of the big takeaways was for Joe Burrow is that he can make all the throws. He can make the throws that Jake Fromm's making. He can make the throws that Tua Tagovailoa, Trevor Lawrence, your guy up there, and Herbert, everything that he's every throw that the big time guys that everybody in the country is talking about, Joe Burrow fits in. And I think that did a lot for his confidence in coming back down to Baton Rouge and being a leader for this team and understanding that, you know, he's got potential to be a big-time player in college football this season.
Yeah, you mentioned the dominance up front of LSU of old and how that kind of derailed them last year against Alabama and Florida when they struggled to move the ball a little bit. With that in mind, looking at, you know, if LSU was to realize those expectations and have the kind of year that some think they can have, what is the one strength or the one positional group you think that carries them? And then vice versa, if things do falter and maybe they have a disappointing season, what is the weakness you think that will derail their season?
Well, obviously they have to stay healthy. That's the storyline for everybody. But I think the dominant part of this team is going to be their defense. I mean, look, you lose Devin White, you lose Greedy Williams. White is the fifth overall pick to the Bucs. Greedy goes in the second round to Cleveland. I've been saying this on the air, and I've been getting blasted for it, but I truly believe this. I think they upgraded at the cornerback spot, losing Greedy and gaining Derek Stingley Jr. Stingley is the number one player in the country by the majority of recruiting services. He's by far the number one defensive back in the country. He's a play one, game one, day one starter at defensive back, punt returner, and is a game changer at both spots. There's healthy competition at the linebacker spot between three guys. Whoever wins out, you're safe there. In replacing Devin White, you don't replace him. You don't get the production that he gave you. You know, you can play this game, coach this game for another decade. You're probably not getting a player like him at that position. So you just gotta kind of restack there. But the defensive line is better. And look, they got some ball hawks in the defensive backfield. I was standing next to an NFL scout during the spring practice, and they were without Christian Fulton, who by a lot of services, you read around, he's the best returning cornerback in college football. You know, he's a guy that played opposite Greedy last year, and Grant Delpit, who was a Nagurski finalist, and probably the best defensive back, the best safety coming back in the country. They were without those guys, and an NFL scout was standing next to me with a lineup that they had on the field that featured Stingley Jr., Kerry Vincent, who's a track star, Kelvin Joseph, who's a backup. And I asked him, who's not a pro? And he said, look, man, all these guys are going to be playing on Sunday. So they've got depth back there, and they've got playmakers. And look, I think that the failing grace for this team could be the offensive line. But what Joe Brady, the new offensive coordinator, to a sense, a new passing game coordinator, has brought in is getting the ball out of your hand quick. That Saints philosophy, right? I mean, like, don't stand there, let the pass rush, no more max protect, no more keeping seven guys in and only running three guys out. Get five guys out on the route, catch the ball out of a shotgun, and get the ball out of your hand. Put it to these playmakers and let them make plays in space. So offensive line's got to play well, but they're doing some things to counteract maybe the weakness of their team. Mm.
There we go. Jordy Collada, our guest here, 104.5 ESPN Sports Radio in Baton Rouge, previewing number 8, LSU. Jordy, great insight, great info, man. Thank you so much. And we'll have to catch up with you this coming season with a couple of their big games.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news,
you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.